Hello and welcome to another episode of This Particular Album is Very, Very Important to Me. I'm Joel Spence.
And I'm Deborah Tarica. This is the podcast where we ask people we love to pick an album that is very, very important to them. And here they share their memories.
Great and not so great.
And emotional connections.
Great and not so great.
And we all get to listen to it through their ears.
Deb, what is your favorite bird?
My favorite bird? Mm-hmm. You really threw the... I don't... Oh, God.
Well, maybe it'll come to you.
this is why you can't throw things at me. Do you have one?
I should have thought about this. It's certainly not a fucking chicken. I hate chickens. Penguin.
Yeah, I guess penguin's a
penguin.
Good one.
Penguin.
Flamingos are stinky, but I like them.
Yeah. I think I'll have to go with penguin.
Owls. No, 100% owls.
Okay.
Of course, it's owls.
Yeah, you're right. Owls are pretty cool.
Okay, that was hard.
All right, so just got a text from your husband.
Okay.
All right, so this particular song is very, very important to me.
What's yours?
Okay, we'll start with mine. So I did a little research on the year that the featured album came out, and I found, this song I was really into, and it's Imogen Heap. Is that how you pronounce her name?
I think so.
Imogen Heap. Hide and Seek. Do you remember Hide and Seek?
Yeah.
I don't know if I know it.
You know
I have
it.
To hear it. I do? Okay.
Heroin. What the hell is going on?
Part of the appeal of this song is just how it sounds. Like she's singing through a vocoder in her synthesizer. And it's hypnotic. And I never really pay attention. It's another one of these songs where I never really pay attention to what the lyrics totally mean, and it doesn't really matter because there's like lines that pop up that I hear and I go, oh yeah, that's really cool, but I think the whole experience is just hypnotic.
Yeah, it's just one person.
Yeah.
Okay. You know this one?
Yeah, I was introduced to this song through the SNL digital short.
Oh
really?
Yeah.
What was the short?
It was called Dead Sister.
Yes.
And it was just like people kept shooting.
Shooting.
Each other.
Yes. Yes.
And it kept starting over. You're gonna get to a specific part of this song where you're gonna be like, yes,
yeah,
you're
okay.
Remember it for sure.
It feels familiar. It's very beautiful.
Yeah.
It matches the mood outside as we're currently recording.
Yeah, it's rainy outside.
I'm always looking for new music to put on my bedtime playlist for when I'm putting my daughter to sleep. And this is very lovely until when it kicks in. Does it kick in?
It's never gonna
okay,
kick.
Okay, then this is very lovely.
But it's just gonna be a part that's gonna be like, ah.
Okay.
It's the most iconic part of this song.
Okay. Yeah.
And I would like to think it's because of that sketch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some people may be like, how dare you?
Yeah.
Disrespect.
You can't
like
help
that
though.
Yeah. Where pleasure moments hung before the takeover, the sweeping insensitivity of this.
She's also playing the chords.
Yeah, on the keyboard.
Yeah, she's singing like the fifth or whatever, and
okay,
every
gotcha.
Other or the one. In.
Yeah.
Are you a musician too though? Or are you just you know me you are?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's coming up. And that's a sample that's been used for
Jason Derulo.
Yeah.
Oh, so that okay. I don't know. You know what? I don't think I know this.
We'll post the link to that short because it's great.
Yeah,
the short is great. I forgot all about that.
Okay. Oh, I'm excited.
We need you decided this. What you say? What did she say?
Earlier today, I watched a performance of this from her. and she doesn't really have all the vocoder tricks, so it's just her and the piano, and it's still great. It's still, her voice is, you know, there's something, even the performance, she's, I hate to say this, but sometimes she's a little flat or sharp, but it makes it all the more vulnerable. I think she's an incredible singer, and she has great command of her voice, and I'll post that as well. It's like a, it's great.
Yeah, I think I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah,
it's like a unplugged almost.
Well, this it's a performance in Manchester. It's like this festival.
Yeah, that's tight. Awesome.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen her live?
No.
Have you?
No, I haven't. I'm not a fan.
Okay.
But I only know that.
Just
song.
That song. Yeah. Okay.
And it's not me saying that I'm not a fan because I'm like, I'm not a fan. I prefer not to support her.
I prefer drums.
You don't know her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really know much. I don't think I got the full album. Oops. Whoa. Did we just segue right into your song? Yeah, this is your song.
This is my song. So my song, very similar to your choice.
Yeah.
Okay, I went with the overall theme of the podcast today, which is sex.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's not the theme of the podcast, but there's a lot of sexy music today. A lot of really horny music. And O-Town is like, to me, very horny music. I mean, I don't get horny listening to O-Town. Yeah. I need to be very clear about that. But like, this song is called Every 6 Seconds, and it talks about every 6 seconds men think about sex.
Oh, right.
And yeah, this, all O-Town is innuendo and like these just cutesy little boy band singing about sex.
Yeah, they were
to young girls.
Boy band, right?
Yeah. Until you give me some. So in college, we didn't really write like full thesis papers where you'd like spend all semester. We did quarters or all quarter like working on something. But this was like the big paper. This was my big like 25-page paper that I wrote. Wow. I wrote about O-Town.
Whoa.
And their impact. This was in 2002. So like right when Making of the Band had just started. I mean, they're terrible.
Yeah.
They're terrible, but I love them. And I started off writing this paper about how the effect of like reality TV and how it like blurs with real life and how it affects people in real life and what it's doing to society. This was like very early reality TV. And so I used them as the example and wrote my paper on them. But as I wrote the paper, I fell in love with them. From Santa Barbara, where I was in school, a few of us traveled up. Peter, who I talk about a lot, Peter and I did a road trip up to Sacramento to the State Fair to go see O-Town in concert.
Oh, wow. That's tight.
And they were about as good as you would think they were. They were a band put together that they are all, I'm sure, very talented men at this point. But like, they're not good.
Yeah. Even in college, were you older than most of the people at this concert?
Yes. Like, I kept wanting to... Again, my mom listens to this podcast. I don't care. I had a crush on one. Like, I forced myself. I, like, picked one that I loved, and I think the one that I loved was Dan, which is...
Dan.
I think he was... Again, what if he listens to this podcast?
Oh, damn.
I don't think he was the most popular one. Like, Ashley Angel was, like, the most popular one, and whatever. But I was like, I want Dan. So I just kept going, like, I'm 21.
You were holding up your ID.
I really, like, I wish I had a sign that I could have held up to say, like, I'm 21, because we were very much, like, the oldest in the crowd.
Yeah.
But it was a super fun concert. Yeah. There was, like, opening bands before it, or opening, like, acts, where, like, one girl's, like, top broke while she was performing. These are, like, young, like, pop. Not even stars. I mean, these are bands or acts opening up for O-Town at the State Fair. But like, there was another, like, I used to love pop way more than I do now. And like, it was so fun. And I still, like, I have a little O-Town magnet on my fridge and I still love them for what they are.
You could be a fan.
Yeah.
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 And I did not like their second album, but their first album is very near and dear to me. And the paper I wrote was like pretty good, I think, for that.
I don't think I've ever been in a You've experienced a situation where you've gone to a concert and there were screams, and I don't think I've been to a show where it's such a teen scream experience, but maybe that wasn't like that.
I think it was probably like that, but almost fake like that, because it was it wasn't in sync. Like, it wasn't in sync or Backstreet Boys where it would be like people like really throwing themselves. I mean, it was the whole town.
It just kind of shows you how dumb kids are.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. They'll just be like, oh, this is the new thing?
Oh, oh man. Yeah. I think, and I think it was like crowded, but like not that crowded.
Yeah, that's a fair.
Like, it's not that we had to go to Sacramento to see them.
With some screams and one lone voice. I'm 21.
And Peter next to me going, she is.
Confirming it.
You know, I think our culture has shifted to where like teen heartthrobs and stuff like that aren't really around anymore in the way of like where it's just one and everybody's into that thing.
Uh-huh.
Justin Bieber may have been like the last one.
Oh, that's
because now it's YouTube stars.
Yep.
Like, I'm sure Jake Paul or Aaron Paul, whatever their name, I don't know. The Paul guys.
Yeah.
The real bad dudes.
Rand Paul.
Yeah, Rand Paul. I'm sure when he goes to the mall, Rand Paul at the Mall of America is getting flooded.
But you're right. Like, I think about that a lot. There isn't like celebrity in that way. Like George Clooney.
Yeah.
There's no like A-list almost doesn't exist anymore in that way, because it's just so spread out that there isn't one way that we watch things. There isn't one way that we listen to things.
Yeah. But Jennifer Aniston, people like that who are like the top of the news at all the time, the tabloids and stuff. They're still talking about those people. It's like nobody cares about Brad and Angelina anymore. Yeah. Like, why are we still talking about this?
It is so interesting, and because you can tell the appeal is for 50-year-olds or whatever. Like,
yeah, there was this girl in Birds the other night, and the bartender was like, "Yo, she's on Instagram. Like, I follow her on Instagram, and I looked over, and she looked as if she would be an Instagram model, and I looked her up on Instagram, and she had like 40 million followers, and I'm like, that girl could have walked up and slapped me in the face. I would never know who she was.
So crazy.
And 40 million people know who she is.
Wow.
It doesn't.
We can get her on this podcast.
Yeah. She did walk up to me and slap me in the face and said, "I hate music." So that might be hard.
All right, we're gonna take a break, and we'll be right back.
Hello, listeners. Thanks once again for tuning in. If you're digging this podcast, please, please, please go to Apple Podcasts and rate and review. Deborah and I love doing this show, and good reviews help us continue to bring fun guests and great albums to you. Special thanks to those of you who already have rated and reviewed. You know who you are, we know who you are, and we're looking forward to reading some new ones. And now, back to the program.
Our guest is Carl Tart, writer-performer at UCB on the Herald team Queen George, also a member of the improv sketch team White Women. He's been a writer for Mad TV, Brockmire, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, many other things.
Oh, thank you. Hi.
Hi. Hey. Carl Tart, welcome to the welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
What particular album is very, very important to you?
Today's my pick is, and this is controversial.
Controversial to who?
To me, because I'm embarrassed to say.
Okay.
But also, as soon as y'all hit me up, I was like, I mean, if I'm going to pick any album that I've listened to multiple times and know every song to, that isn't Chris Brown, because we can't talk about that.
Closest we can get to Chris Brown.
Yeah. only a couple bad guys in this group out of four is Blue Stars by Pretty Ricky.
Yeah. I got some stats for that. So that's released in May 2005 on Atlantic and Blue Star Entertainment labels. Producers are Big D, Jim Johnson, and my favorite name ever, Hardly Davidson, Stress, and Troy Taylor.
Wait, I just want to really quick, the email that Carl sent us said, "Sounds fun, but you may not like my album." I like that. And then offered us two Pretty Ricky albums, actually.
Yeah. I was listening to the other one last night. I was like, should I talk about this one? But I feel like I got to talk about the first one. You and I play
house. When picking, I think the, I was going to say premiere album. What is that called?
Debut
album. Thank you. Is like, it's always not the better album necessarily, but I find it more interesting to talk about or easier to research.
Yeah. Yeah, because the second one, they definitely started falling off a little bit. They had like two hits from the second one, maybe one. I think their biggest hit came from the second one. Like the song that made both.
Well, the Hotline. Or?
I think on the Hotline. Yeah, I think it's their biggest hit. And this one had two songs that maybe reached the Billboard Top 100. I think.
Brian With Me was
Brian With Me. Yeah,
might be made top 10.
Yeah, but top 10 Hot 100 or
maybe
R&B.
Maybe R&B.
Cause it was a big song.
Yeah.
I know that it at least was on the Billboard charts.
And Your Body, right? Yeah. Your Body, I remember that song.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to tell you, like, this is not an album I would put on these days.
No.
This whole episode is dedicated to Deborah's mother, I think.
I assure you my mom has turned it off by now. But me in high school, oh, I would have loved this.
Yeah.
This came out way after I was in high school, but this sent me down a wonderful rabbit hole of the R&B I used to listen to in high school.
Yeah.
It was like a pleasure to listen to this album.
You listened to the whole thing?
This album?
Yeah.
Yeah, multiple times.
Oh, I love it.
My whole family listened to this album. I put it, I was like, I want to see if they have some videos for it. So I just put it up on TV and we all just like... We're playing with May and
yeah,
like listening to this, and she danced a little bit. 5 minutes you did sleep, having wet dreams, fantasizing about me. And I knew that you loved it because the way that you were shaking me, never by teasing to me, always about pleasing to me. And I can feel your body at its climax, you finna bust. So, baby, close your mind and just hush. Girl, I wanna play. Don't say
Grind With Me made it to number 7 on the Billboard Hot 100. Pretty good.
Yeah. And where did Your Body make it to?
That was more popular, yeah. I thought.
Number 12.
Number 12. Oh. It peaked at number 12, huh?
Yeah.
And on the Hotline?
Debuted at number 97 on the Billboard. Let's see. Fifth week, jumped 60 spots from 72 to 12.
Nice. I'm your sexual pillar for realer. I know 12 ways to make your body shiver. Let me drill ya. Open up your legs and slick them high, go low and lick ya.
The album, the second album, was debuted at number 1 on the album chart.
Wow. Nice.
Okay, wait, so...
All right, so where were you?
Take us back.
All right.
So this came out in 2005.
2005 it was released, but you know how they have songs before the album comes out.
Yeah.
So Grind With Me came out like... late 2004, I want to say early 2005, like when I first heard Grind With Me.
Let's play Grind With Me.
So this song right here was just all over the radio. And I loved R&B at the time, and I think a lot of people did. And it was like, it just became so popular. And I was like, 2005, I was 16 years old. This one is important. This album is important because this was when I first started getting the chance to go to parties.
Yeah.
And this was Grind On Me to me. Like, it was my first experiences in life with sexy dancing with girls.
Yeah.
I think it was a shift in my personality or who I was, at my confidence level at all. Because I grew up, like, chubby. And I was always the clown because that was my defense mechanism.
Yeah.
Like, I adopted self-deprecating humor very early on so nobody else would make fun of me. Right. Middle school sucks. Yeah. So to prevent me from going home every day crying because everybody's roasting me, I was like, I'm going to roast myself.
Yeah.
And I've also, like, never really been a roaster of other people. Like, you know, we jeer and joke and stuff like that, sure. But I've never. And then once I got to high school, this year was, like, a pivotal year for me because it was the second half of sophomore year. And I moved back to Mississippi for a half a year.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So
were you born in Mississippi?
I was. Yeah, I'm from Mississippi. Okay. I moved to LA when I was about 9 years old.
Okay.
And so went through middle school here. Didn't like it because that's what people do when they come to LA. They don't like it until they realize that it's the best city in the country.
Even people that were born in LA didn't like junior high either, if that helps.
But, like, yeah, so I went to middle school, did my freshman year of high school, and then my mom found a place to live in Pasadena. And so she was going to uproot me from the West Side. And I was like, I've been here 4 years. I finally developed a strong friend bond.
Yeah.
Like, I went through middle school and now I'm in high school with these same people. We're friends now. Like, I've finally acclimated. And she was like, and now you're going to transfer to another school. Because I can't. And she, like, bless my mom's heart. We commuted from Altadena to Culver City.
Whoa.
For the second half of my freshman year every day. She did that for me.
Wow.
Just saw it because it was a good school. I was in a performing arts school. I was in the music academy. And she, it's called Hamilton High School. Shout out Hamilton. Go Yankees. And she drove me every morning. And I was late every morning. And I had jazz band first period. And my teacher hated me because I was late every day.
So for listeners, Altadena is, Pasadena's the closest like major city.
Yeah.
To Culver City.
Oh my God.
We're reacting because we know what a pain that would be.
It's insane. We would have to, in order for me to get to school on time at 7:50 a.m., we'd have to leave at 6:10, 6:15.
You're not only hitting traffic, you're hitting multiple traffic ecosystems on the way.
And we'd have to take the streets because the freeways would be like, so in order, we wouldn't take like the 134 to, look at us, the California.
I know, here we go again.
We wouldn't have to take the 134 to the 101 to the 405 south.
Yeah.
We would go the 2 to Alvarado, Santa Monica Boulevard, and like that.
That's insane.
And it would take a long time. And my mom, she definitely made me late every morning, but I can't really complain about it because she was making that drive.
You could at the time because kids don't understand that, but like,
I would be ready. I'd be like, Mom, I'm up. I'm ready to go. And she would like, 5 more minutes. Like, you know, just so tired because my little brother's 10 years younger than me. So he was like 4.
And did he have to, he got in the car with you guys and went
to?
Yeah.
But it was just like, it's like wrapping him up. I'm like, do you need any help? Should I get him ready? Can I do something? Like, I cannot be late anymore, Ma. And we never made it out on time. She always had to make food for him. And because she's making that trip, she's going to be like in LA for a while. So she's got to like prepare herself to do errands and stuff like that. And like, I was late every day. And I played saxophone. So I'm right in the front row of jazz band.
Yeah, you can't.
And like, we're walking and they're already warming up playing arpeggios and scales and stuff. And I'm like setting up my saxophone, like licking my reed and stuff, trying to put it like, and my teacher's just like,
oh, Carl, like, we didn't notice you come in.
Yeah. Knocking over stands and stuff. It was just awful. So she was like, we can't do that. You're going to have to transfer. And I was like, no, you can't take me away from this school. And she did. And so I was like, well, I started practicing football at this school in San Fernando Valley called Ribay Academy. It's right when you're on the 2 freeway.
Oh, I drive
and you
by it all the time. Yeah.
And it's where they shot the video for Bust Down Tatiana. It's a Blueface's new song.
Okay.
I just realized that the other day I was watching, I was like, oh my God, they shot that at Ribay.
Never knew it was pronounced Ribay. I always go Ribbit.
Yeah, and that's what why their mascot is the Fighting Frog.
Oh, okay.
Because they think it sounds like that. But yeah, Ribay.
All right, so you went to Ribay.
Did not end up going there.
Oh.
I practiced football all summer.
Oh, okay.
From, like, taking the bus from my house in Altadena to San Fernando Valley, which is was a long commute, but easier.
Yeah.
And we had a 3-week break at the end of football practice before we started school. And my mom was like, do you want to go home for 3 weeks just to, like, you know, go see your family and stuff?
This
and
is Mississippi.
Like, yeah.
Home, yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And I didn't come back.
Mm.
I convinced my family to tell my mom to let me stay, and I enrolled in school there and realized, oh, I have progressed beyond this. And so that whole 6 months was tough because I spent the first half of the year there, first half of my sophomore year at my hometown high school. And my cousins were there, but they were different guys than what I remembered. And
you wanted to be what you remember, of course. Yeah.
And it wasn't. It was not, you know, fifth grade or fourth grade. It was these guys have grown up. They're developing into who they're going to be as people. And like, oh, this is different.
The improv scene was dead.
No improv scene. As a matter of fact, here's how this sounds great. I'm not going to say that everybody's ignorant down there, but it was just my personality that I had developed living in LA, being a goofball and being comfortable making jokes and laughing and giggling was only seen as gay. Like, they just like,
really?
And I'm like, that's not in a correlation. They just didn't know how to.
Right.
And they thought I acted white, and they're like, you ain't got an accent no more. And then I came out here, and people were like, man, you sound so country.
Like, you can't win. Like,
yeah, I couldn't win. So half the year, I called my mom with my tail tucked between my legs. I was like, I know you're going to say I told you so, because she didn't want me to stay. She knew. She was like, yeah. No, you're not going to stay down there. You're coming back here. And I was like, no, I want to stay. So 6 months in, I was like, mom, I want to come back. But I want to go back to Hamilton. Like, if there's anything I can do, if I can move in with a friend or something. And she had been looking for places in the area and found one. So we matched up perfectly.
It's amazing.
So I got to go back. I got to go back second half of sophomore year. And that was when my life kind of changed from. I lost a ton of weight. I was on every sports team. Like, and this album was out. And this was the first time that I ever felt girls being into me.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, because
this is 10th grade?
This
now
is
10th
grade.
Okay,
yeah, 10th going into 11th.
Great.
And it was like, oh my gosh. Like, it was the first time that girls, I think, because girls, these are girls that I grew up with, kind of. Mm-hmm. I think this was the first time that they were like, oh, Carl's, oh, I can see Carl in that way now. Before, mm-hmm. it was just like, oh, that's funny brother Carl.
Also, you disappeared and then came back. Yeah. Like,
so you were like, yeah. Grind with me?
Yeah, grind with me. Yeah, relax your mind, take your time with me. But this album also was at the height of AOL Instant Messenger, AIM. And so we all, you know, everybody's on the computers at home at night.
Yeah.
Not doing homework.
Yeah.
Not doing. I got a scholarship. My computer, I got an iBook G4 and an Oxygen 8 MIDI controller. From the Jack Elliott Foundation, and it was to produce an album. Like, they picked like 12 to 15 kids in our class to make music.
Wow.
I did not do it because I was on AIM all night.
Clunk.
Yeah,
that was always so funny for me when I took it personally when. Because I just didn't know, I asked a question on somebody. We were just chatting back and forth. I think I really liked her. I think that was the thing. And she didn't respond for a long time, and I was just sort of waiting. And then the door shut, and it was hilarious. It was a hilarious rejection. Just hearing that door was brutal.
Wait, did she log out or did she block
you? I think she just didn't know that I had asked her a question. She was like around, and then it automatically logged her out. Yeah. So there was nothing I did.
Sure. Yeah, nothing you did.
I asked her how much she weighed.
That's reasonable.
Yeah. And she probably went to a scale and then...
And died.
And died. What a terrible way to go.
On the scale.
On the scale, having just been asked, how much do you weigh? Okay, so Grind With Me was like the first one you heard. Are there other songs that you were like, oh, this is...
Grind With Me was the single.
Yeah.
And then the next single was Your Body. I don't think we've gotten to that one.
Yes,
this
sir.
One.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
I got new shoes on my ride.
Do you know the song My Body from LSG?
Oh, yeah. My body all over your body. Yeah.
This was like part of my rabbit hole going down. Like, I heard every time I heard this song, it makes me think of that song. Because that song, all of my favorite things I was realizing were 1997 when I was like a sophomore and junior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right. I feel like that's the... Yeah. The time you wanna grind. I feel like we called it freaking.
Yeah.
Was it still called freaking? I don't know. Even though I don't even think I did.
Grind.
I was such a wallflower. I wasn't a wallflower, but I still don't like. I love dancing in groups, and I like dancing with my husband, but like more slow dancing. I don't like. Like anything that takes rhythm, dancing one-on-one, it like makes me super uncomfortable still to this day. So it's probably because of like junior high and high school stuff. I think we have some very similar experiences.
Yeah, the normal high school experience.
Yeah.
I think part of the reason, looking back, that I was in a band in high school was there might have been some subconscious, oh, that means you don't have to dance. You provide the music that people so dance great. To. It's just a better, I preferred that. I prefer that at a dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was stuck to the food. I stayed to the side. I was just very, I guess I was very shy with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I was about that food too. And up until around the time this album came out, if I was at a party, I would be dancing by myself, once again, just trying to make everybody laugh. So doing crazy moves and stuff, trying to make, oh, Carl, he's a spectacle.
Yeah.
As opposed to all my friends who are against the wall getting twerked on.
Yeah.
And that's another thing we call it. So it's freaking, twerking, and all that
grinding.
Grinding, when I hear people out here, people in the improv community talk about high school parties, how much drinking was involved, and how much, I never drank in high school. And I don't think that was, I think the most risque thing that my friends did at parties, maybe there was some weed, the gangsters who at the party had weed or something, or maybe they had alcohol, but me and my friends didn't drink. I just hit up my friends asking, did we drink in high school? And they was no, not really. That was after. It was soon after. We weren't 21 yet, but it wasn't in high school. But we danced very suggestively.
I guess I keep thinking about school dances specifically, because the parties I went to, there wasn't dancing.
Okay.
There was music, but never dancing, but there was drinking.
I mean, I guess the band that I was in, it's not like you can grind to New Order. Or
speak REM. For yourself.
Well, I guess it's true.
Losing my religion? Twerk that ass.
The subject of this album never really changes except for Grillam, I think, is the big boast.
Yeah, and that was the song that I would skip.
Yeah.
That one and My Chevy.
My Chevy is
those were two that I was
My Chevy is basically a Lonely Island song.
Yeah.
This whole band, this feels very Lonely Island.
They are just a second beat before third beat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're a lot of their lyric, they're not the best lyrics. I don't even mean obviously they're filthy and there's so much innuendo, but they're not even that creative.
No.
In their lyrics. I really kept waiting to be what's this rhyme? What's this next thing going to be? And how are they going to get in handy snacks or whatever? Something weird in this one or and it's all just no.
Sweeter than an hour later.
Sweeter than an hour later. Hooker than beta receiver like the Raiders. That's pretty clever. The Raiders.
Yeah, that one was one of the better ones.
In your body, there's. I had to write it down and nothing sounds better than me just speaking the lyrics. But get a taste of this salami. Knock, 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 knock you down like a tsunami. Busting you like a tummy.
like a Tommy gun.
Like a Tommy.
Yeah.
I was literally reading the lyrics, so I just read somebody else's poor translation. That's so busting much better, but I'm going to still choose to believe it's busting you like a tummy, which makes no sense. And the word them saying the word tummy, that's helpful.
So the personalities of these guys were this guy, this is Baby Blue. He is the sex rapper and a little bit more hardcore, thought he was a better rapper. And then you got Spectacular, who was the slow voice, I'm about to put this thing on your baby. And then Slick'em would always rap about food, what I was noticing. So he would always compare food to
sex,
eating you like a bag of chips. He's the crazy one. He was the crazy one. He's still the crazy one.
Yeah.
He's got 9 kids. These guys aren't that old. Because
they were little boys.
I was 15 or 16, and they were 20.
Yeah.
And so they're 34 now.
Yeah.
And
and they've recently reunited.
Yeah, I'm going to the concert next month.
Are you?
Yeah,
I
am.
So fun.
The Millennium Tour, because it's all the groups B2K, Chingy, Lloyd, Pretty Ricky. It's everybody who I listen
to.
Amazing. Growing. So if those guys can all stick together, because I know they all hate each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right after this album, who left?
Pleasure P. Pleasure P stayed for the second album. Yeah. And then they replaced him with Lingerie. And they had one song with him, but it wasn't good. It wasn't the same Pretty Ricky. Also, I had went to college by that time. It was done. Pretty Ricky. Spectacular actually became a pretty successful business.
That's what I was reading. Like, he's like an entrepreneur and does, like,
speaks.
He goes out and speaks.
He has a company called AdWizard, which is, like, you ever look on Facebook and you, like, follow a celebrity on Facebook and they post, like, random memes and stuff. It's like,
yeah.
I know George Clooney is not posting this with the caption LOL.
Yeah.
He created that.
Oh, wow.
So it's like you buy celebrities' profiles and you run their pages for them.
That's
and you
amazing.
Post for them.
That's wow. so smart.
Yeah. That's he did so it very smart. Early.
Oh, can
he
I?
He created Grumpy Cat.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I want to take a second and go through Pretty Ricky's Twitter feed.
Okay.
For a second, because they, I don't know who's running it. May be Spectacular.
Oh, yeah, maybe so.
But I don't know. They tweet exactly once a day inspirational messages.
Really?
Which is like, kind of amazing. It's yeah. kind of funny, but also like nothing the more I read to- it, the more I was like, this actually might be very cool for people. But some like just every single day, a failure is not always a mistake. It may simply be the best one can do under the circumstances. The real mistake is to stop trying.
Mm.
Then mm. there's like, there are going to be lots of hard times in your life, but those hard times only make you stronger in the end. Like they just every single day, stay strong, be positive. We all struggle sometimes.
Now let me put this thing on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like from these albums to this mm. is so funny. Where like some of the lyrics in their songs are so fucking bonkers.
Yeah.
And then this, which is like, so I don't know. It's like kind of amazing. I mean, funny. Obviously, there's personas and there's
yeah.
like who they are, but I don't know. I think it's very funny.
They also had this sort of boy band image to me. Like, it's funny you brought O-Town in because I was watching what video was it? Your Body or Grind With Me or something. It's all. Were they from Miami?
Yeah.
They just had this, I don't know, this sort of harmless yet risque quality to them.
I think they kind of are a boy band.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just, yeah, they rapped about a lot of sex and they had the singer to try to soften the blow. Mm-hmm. But then they also talked, what I liked about it because it was like, for me, this was like, in my first dealings with girls and stuff,
yeah.
They had a song on the album that was for, which later became Drake, but for me, but like, they had like the song like, Can't Let You Go and
yeah.
Juicy and all this.
Yeah.
Like, Juicy and AJ, nothing but a number were the songs that when you heard those opening licks, everybody went to the dance floor.
Yeah.
Those were the ones. So it's like, Grind On Me was just like the hit. But like Juicy and AJ ain't nothing but a number.
AJ ain't nothing but a number. I saw the title of that song and I went, oh, fuck. And
yeah,
then I listened to it and I was like, okay.
It's
yeah.
the reverse.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
trying to get with
it's
an older
not
one.
R. Kelly's defense.
Yes.
No.
And it's so funny because I looked at the YouTube comments for that one and like most of them are like, I like this song. Some yeah. of them are like, if she's old enough. Like they're very like, and then there was one that was like this one like sociopathic rant that was like, I love this song. I would like to take a woman home. We would lock eyes in the club, and then I'd take her home. We'd make passionate love, and right as I was coming, and blah, blah, like, it's this, like, really, like, elaborate fantasy, and then I'd whisper I love you to her, and then I'd finish. We'd both finish, and then I'd go, get the fuck out of my house,
oh
you
my
cunt.
God. There are no mistakes. Read us.
Go find it because it's so. I mean, like
we need to read another inspirational quote.
Oh my gosh!
Hold on.
Comments.
To devote all that time to writing that story.
Kill them with success and bury them with a smile.
Oh, whoa! All
right, that's nice.
That's nice. I'ma show you how Stella got a group back. How you feeling like a little girl sneaking from your boyfriend? Leaving your window crack. I get a phone call every day, weekly. Let's open very easy. The meaning of L-O-V-E. Baby boo, B-A-B-Y-B-L-U-E.
Do you know every single word to every single song?
I know most of them.
Yeah.
But my thing was, my other friends would be like rapping. I was the Marcus Pleasure P. That was my
That was your voice?
Yeah, I would sing. We actually lip synced. What is it? Is it lip synced?
I think so.
We did it on the hotline in a high school talent show. And it was it was very funny and people liked it.
I bet the visual of that was better than the video that they had for it.
Oh, that video was so stupid.
It's so bad.
It's just green screen, them dancing like in front of Japan.
It's amazing. It's so funny. I know you've been going through some changes. People got you angling. Did you listen to this with your mom around?
No. Well, I had headphones in, like if she was in the living room watching TV and I was in, my desk was like the kitchen table.
Yeah.
And I had my laptop set up and I was just, it was just that every night after practice, like you run home, throw my pads in the garage and then just sit. Mm-hmm. Funky as hell, yeah. From football all day.
Right.
And my mom's like, go get in the shower. I'm like, oh,
but I'm going to miss something.
Yeah.
Teenage boys are like, very gross.
Oh, yeah, disgusting. Disgusting.
Yeah, I was curious, like, if you, because, like, the songs that I like, most of them, like, I would die of embarrassment if I listened to around my parents. I think most people did. But even, I think I even selected some of the songs that I liked. Just in case they listen to, like, the R&B that I did like was like a little more tame, I mm-hmm. think, or it sounded a little more melodic. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was a conscious choice to like do that, but I couldn't. I mean, I get it embarrassing about my mom listening to me now. Mm-hmm. I told her I talk about her all.
I know.
I never like played this in the car with my mom or anything like that. Like, it was all when my mom's in the car, it's always stuff that she has to like.
Yeah.
What was she listening to?
At that time, in 2005 in the car, probably R. Kelly. Some R. Kelly album or something like that. Or Usher. I know Usher and R. Kelly had a Best of Both Worlds or whatever. It was something that was going on around that time. But that was more her speed.
Yeah.
And it would be old stuff. Like, she would listen to TP2.com, like Remixed Ignition CD a lot. She liked R. Kelly a lot. Yeah. She's struggling.
That's
with
hard,
the,
yeah.
Because it... But I know my mom knows that he's awful. It's a weird thing with like black celebrities and their when they do bad stuff, because it's no secret that like successful black people do get harassed and try to take. So like everybody's always like, nope, we got no. Even though now I think that documentary was very good.
Yeah.
For all of us to be like, and also it got turned into such a joke that we completely ignored like the state of that girl
mm-hmm.
and stuff, like, and how bad this guy actually was. It just got turned into such like fodder.
It's what we did with, I mean, I feel like we've been talking about that a lot off mic, but like Lorena Bobbitt and Monica Lewinsky and Anita Hill, like all of those, like everybody is put down to a punchline, and it's almost always at the women's expense.
Yeah,
and then we move on, unless you can.
And then we look back, and we go, what were we thinking?
It's crazy. Yeah, that's.
Were you able to? Did you have a girlfriend in high school?
Sorta.
Girlfriends.
Like, I dated. It just kind of dated.
Yeah.
Then, you know, it's high school relationships. I credit my first girlfriend being when I was like 22.
Gotcha.
Like, because it was the first time I was like in a relationship, going on dates and stuff like that. But other than that, it was just kind of like, oh, me and this girl are holding hands and canoodling for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And now we're not.
Which is,
like, oh, they talking? Like, talking. It was like, and that was the gossip. Like, you know, these two people are talking.
Because even dates, like, how do you date in high school? Yeah,
I ain't had no money.
Yeah.
My mom didn't have any money. Like, we would all go out as groups. Like, to the Grove or to Pacific Theaters and stuff.
I remember, I feel like my parents commenting on it or their friends going like, kids date in groups now. Like, that's, and it is. Mm. And I don't know what it is now, but I assume it's the same.
Yeah.
Everything was always determined by whose parents were out of town. And I'm looking back going, why were parents going out of town so much? Because there was always a house that was like, oh, it's yours this week? Great, we'll go over to there. And there was drinking and... sound like a cop. There was drinking involved.
Times changed so quick. Like, weed was so stigmatized when I was in high school that it was like, if you smoked weed, people are like, oh my God. Like, oh, they smoke weed.
Oh,
like,
yeah, they're potheads.
Yeah.
You're categorized.
And then, like, now all of our younger siblings are all like, I found a pack of Swishers in my house.
Yeah.
At my mom's house. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, in my room. I'm like, I never smoked like that. Like, yeah. Smoking tonight, if you come out to 2F and High, UCB. But, I never was a smoker until very, very recently. And I still don't like that. Like,
yeah.
It's very, like, if everybody's standing behind UCB passing around a vape pen, I may, consider myself. And then I'm always like, what am I doing?
It's still, I still think of it. It's hard to break that taboo, feeling. Because I did smoke some weed in high school and then stopped in college because I was like, I don't want to do this. I just didn't like it that I liked it in high school, and then it started feeling I didn't like it as much. But then I just got very square, there was like a 420 I'm 2F and high that I was at, and I wish I could turn off that part of my brain that's like, oh my God, this is crazy.
Yeah.
But I still look around because I'm not high, because I am suburban mom in that part where I'm like, I like my weed blueberries. I will have an occasional. I haven't had one since before
home.
I was pregnant.
Yeah.
But if I'm home and I'm safe, I can have, weed is so still foreign to me, but also we've given my dog CBD oil and it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's crazy. It's weird.
Yeah. When I found out my little brother was smoking, he's 10 years younger than me. So he'll be 20 tomorrow. Be 20 years old tomorrow. My little brother's gonna be 20.
By the time this comes out, he will be 20 because we don't know when this is.
Oh yeah,
but happy birthday!
Yeah, man. 20 years old. It's hard to believe, but when I saw those Swishers in the room, and I saw him in his Instagram story, how the kids do when they're listening to hip hop music, and it's just really close up on their face, while they're smoking, and it's just what are you doing? Clouds. Who is this appealing to?
Yeah.
Girls like this?
Yeah.
is this what the girls like?
Yeah.
And he's in his dorm room. I'm like, don't. I was like, that's. He goes to college in Mississippi, and I'm like, do not. Ooh. Weed is not legal there. You're not in LA.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Yeah.
But both my mom and his dad follow him on Instagram, so I'm like, I guess my mom is okay with this now.
Yeah. Yeah.
She would have thrown me through a wall.
Yeah. I'ma push up on you slow, get you right by the end of the night. Do something sweet like massage your feet and put Pretty Ricky City on repeat. Then get an ice cube and put in work. Go to the kitchen for a little dessert. I love butter pecan ice cream, eat cake, but I lick off the icing. Passing and relaxing, I'm guaranteeing it's satisfaction. Get you fast and slow, back action depending on your reaction, girl. It's 7 in the evening. The worst thing I did was get bad grades. Yeah.
I was a model kid. I just could not get above a D in math.
That's hard.
And a D was passing, and I could play basketball if I got a D. So I'm all right, well, I know I'm going to get a B in English, A in history, a B in history or whatever. I got basketball, so that's automatic A. Our coach didn't. He just, marked A.
Yeah.
And so I was all right, so that's 4 points. We would calculate the GPA, but then math was always all right, that's probably going to be an F.
Science, you're okay?
Science was always on the fence. Yeah. As it got harder, once you got, chemistry and stuff like that, it was like...
Hated chemistry.
That's another D.
Hated chemistry, yeah. Did you... So what... Before this came out, was it a new style of hip-hop for you? Or when Pretty Ricky came out, what were you listening to before?
No, it was... Before that, I would say this is like a... Before that, it was just the radio.
Yeah.
I realized, I didn't have CDs. I didn't buy CDs. I didn't really ask for them.
Yeah.
It was just listening to the radio. So whatever was on Power 106 is what I listened to.
Gotcha.
So I knew music, but I wasn't an album guy. I look at my friends Ronnie, who knows all East Coast hip hop and all that type of stuff, and who had CDs. I didn't have those things. My friends, when I would go to my friends' houses and they had West Side Connection CDs or the Ice Cube or Dub C and stuff the music at the time. The Chronic 2001 was a big thing around that time. But I never asked. It was a lot of stuff I didn't ask for because I didn't think my mom would say yes to it. And she probably would have.
Yeah.
But
And if you have access to it in other ways, and if you're satisfied through the radio, like,
yeah. And you know what I was into, what I would ask my mom for, was stand-up DVDs. And comedy, like, that. We would go to Amoeba, and I would be like, Uma, can I get this Eddie Murphy tape? Can I get it? And she'd be like, yeah, get it. Like, that was what my, so I knew that stuff. While my friends, like, could rap whole Eminem albums, I didn't, like, unless I went to friends' houses.
Yeah. So this changed that?
Yeah, because this is when I got my laptop and I was able to download. This was the LimeWire era.
Yeah.
I remember LimeWire.
Yeah.
So by that time, like 2004, 2005, like throughout high school, it was so much time spent on devices. But this is what, this, like how these kids now never look up from their devices.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like my generation started that.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute, we can stay at home? Nah, this is still kind of boring. Let's go hoop.
Yeah.
Or let's go to the Grove. Let's go. But it was definitely like while we were at home on school nights when we couldn't go out, it was all night until midnight.
I just watched Eighth Grade last night, and it's that. It's like 100% that.
Oh, the movie Eighth Grade.
Yeah, the movie Eighth Grade. Yeah. I just went and sat outside in Eighth Grade. Yesterday.
That is something you do.
Does that take place in 2003?
No, it takes place now.
Oh,
so, I mean, it's like them on their devices the entire time.
Okay.
And like not coming up for air at all.
Yeah.
So after, you said you sort of, when you went to college, did you shed the skin of this kind of music? Did
no.
You kept it?
Kept it, yeah. By that time, let me see, 2007, Drake had kind of taken over at that point.
Yeah.
Like, it was going into, I've always liked R&B. R&B's always been more of my favorite than rap. And I like rap, but I like soft rap. So when Drake came out, and it was like, around this time of trying to discover who I'm gonna, like, I didn't have this high school identity anymore. I wasn't a kid anymore, and it was scary. Like, I'm like my brother right now is at probably the worst year you could be at, because you're too old to be a young self, and you're too young to be an adult.
Yeah,
like, he can't drink, he can't buy alcohol and stuff like that, but he's also like, if he were to go back to his high school and be like, what's up, y'all? I'd be like, get your 20-year-old ass out of here.
Yeah.
Because like, we definitely would like go back and play basketball with like the team and stuff when we didn't have anything to do. It was right when I saw your first improv class, like the day I graduated high school. It was like around right before I started doing improv, and I was just lost. And I was like, okay, well, I'm done at college. Yeah. I'm not going back. I dropped out after the first year.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, all right, I got to figure out something to do. And so I was back, like, calling myself, like, volunteer coaching at my high school just because I didn't have anything to do.
Sure.
And I missed that. Mm-hmm. And people were like, oh, you old. Oh, this OG. It's like, I'm OG? Like, y'all remember me. Y'all were freshmen when I was a senior. Like, y'all know who I am.
There is that weird age where it's just like you can't. Like, you, if you were the coolest person in the world, and then there's like the next day, it's like, no, you cannot be here anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's what high school is.
But happens at UCB too.
And that's what, yeah. And that's when I found improv, like later that year.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I guess I'm going to start doing this.
I want to ask you, because I know you're a huge Martin fan, or you were a huge Martin fan. Did the name bring you, because Pretty Ricky's a character from Martin.
Pretty Ricky, what they call him.
Yeah. Was it, so like, was that like an even more like appeal to you, or did that matter?
I don't think it mattered.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought that's where they got it from. Ricky Fontaine. Pretty Ricky, what they call him.
That's so funny.
I didn't even think about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I like saw it and it made me go back and watch like some old Martin clips and stuff, and like
the clip, Joel, if you didn't see it, it's when they went back to their high school reunion and Martin wanted to prove to everybody that he was like, he had his own TV show at the time, he's a talk show host and stuff like that. And they was all like, they was always talking about this dude, Ricky Fontaine. Okay. And every time somebody would say his name, it was like this runner where they would like trail off and go, "Pretty Ricky, what they called it."
But it was such a funny, like, in the description of them, like, how they got their name. Of them, like, we would wear fur in the summer. We would dress differently. We'd wear fur in the summer when everybody else is wearing shorts. Yeah. Like, some people call this Pretty Ricky. I'm like, yeah, it's a good reason to pick that name.
Yeah.
You and me get down like two flats on the side of the street. First I gave my heart, then I gave you the key, then I stepped up to the...
Is there another song that we have?
We got through the whole album.
We've
Summer Baby.
Oh, do you know what Blue Stars means?
No.
Okay.
I think that's something that they... I know one is like Spectacular Blue Smith and the other one's named Diamond Blue Smith. I think that's because they're brothers.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I think Pleasure P and Slick'em is their cousin or something like that. And yeah. So maybe it's just that.
Did you see them live ever?
No.
Are you, no. So this is gonna
I didn't go to
one.
Concerts when I was younger.
Yeah.
I never, I think something about it was, one thing's like me trying to save my mom money. And the other thing was, I think I was anxious about being around that many people. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be bumped into. I didn't want to.
Concerts are scary.
Yeah. So this will be the first time that I'm seeing them live next month.
Do you, who are you going with?
My high school friends.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Who, is it like a small group of you that always, like, who?
You know, there's like a big group of us that we all get together like once a year. My friend has a Christmas Eve party every year. So that's kind of like how we all reconnect after a year of not seeing each other. Even though we're all here in the same city, we are all doing our own things.
Yeah.
And living different lives and stuff. So like a group of like 10 of us. Like everybody, my friend Imani like organized it and bought all the tickets. Imani, I still see a lot because she likes improv, so she comes to white women shows and stuff. But she organized it. It was like 10 people coming. Everybody get your 2004 baggy jeans and throwback jerseys, and we all going to this. Everybody's dressing up to go to this tour, watch B2K and Pretty Ricky.
Where's the?
It's gonna be the Forum.
Forum.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
That's gonna be
April 13th. So I'm just like hoping that these guys can stay together. I just know I bought the insurance on Ticketmaster just to get, I'm like, I'm gonna get my $80 back because you motherfuckers, I already know that it's gonna be like, y'all not gonna stay together. Like, so they hate each other.
Oh man, is there like one song in particular that you hope that like that you can't wait to hear live?
I can't wait for B2K to do Why I Love You, which was my favorite song by them, and Pretty Ricky, whatever they do is fine. As long as they don't do nothing that was on any of those later albums.
Yeah. They've got that one new single, right?
Good Girls. I like that one.
Okay.
That one's a good song. They sampled You Gotta Be Good, You Gotta Be Bad,
oh, that's
You Gotta
fun.
Be Wiser. Desiree.
Oh, yeah.
And by the end of the album, like on the last song of this album is called Girlfriend.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, now we're being sweet. After we have ravaged you the whole time. Oh no,
yeah.
Not that one. Oh. I think we played it already. But that's the last song. You had me falling like some leaves in the summer. You had me
fixing things like I was a plumber. You do the math. So this is the one where they're like sweet, earnest puppies.
Yeah.
Also they say they're looking for a cutie pie.
Yeah.
Your body.
They're nice guys.
Good boys.
Yeah. Well, did you hear that lyric that he just... So this is like such a high school thing. Like, a little bit further back. All right, let's see. Yeah. Now listen to this part. I started out talking to your best friend. The next thing I knew, you were my girlfriend. I got beef with your ex-boyfriend, but it's all good because you're my baby. Like, it's such like that's such high school relationship.
Yeah.
Of like,
you're right.
I was talking to her, but me and her started like we were on the phone talking about her when we was like, I mean, maybe we should talk. And now everybody's mad. Like,
all in like, one party in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
All
these things. I definitely have had some time like where the best friend calls the other friends like, dude, oh, we'll all be on three-way. This is so snaky when you think about it.
Yeah.
By that girl, like to do that because it would be like, we're all on three-way at a time.
Yeah.
because maybe her dad doesn't let her be on the phone. So she had to call the house and be like, hey, is so-and-so home?
Right.
And he'd be like, yeah, baby, how you doing?
Oh, that's funny.
Tell your dad I said, hey. And then they're like, okay, we're going to call him on three-way now.
Gotcha.
And now we're all talking. And then after that girl has to get off the phone because she's got a curfew, the other friend calls back.
And keeps
off. Oh, wow.
I thought you were doing, because I feel like we used to do this where it was like two people and then one person silently listening to
to catch.
Yeah. Girls are mean. I'll always come back like, girls are mean.
Girls are mean.
And then the dude gets in trouble because he's like, I think about that. It's like now the guy's in trouble, even though the girl was the one who was.
Yeah.
I had this happen to me one time. A girl who was on a track team with me, and I played football with her boyfriend, who they were together for a long time. They might still be together. They might be married now or something. But like, I told her, I was like, oh, what's up with your friend? Like, I want to talk to her. We took the bus together. I noticed that one day she was on my same bus route, and she got off like one stop before me. And I was like, I want to, like, talk to her. This is the first girl I ever, like, fooled around, like, made out with, like, and stuff. Mm-hmm. And her friend started being like, why you don't never call me? And I was like, what? You Earl's girlfriend. What are you talking about? No.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I told that girl that. And she was like, oh, I can't stand that bitch. she always doing some, they always doing that. Like it was. I'm like, wow,
just
this
drama.
Is. But then, if I had to talk to both of them, they'd be like, he. It's oh, like, yeah. Why am I in trouble?
Right.
I've never had this attention in my life. Two girls liking me.
That's why you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Well, should we get into what we learned today?
Yeah.
I learned how cool your mom was for doing driving you. All that way. Those are a lot of miles. That's a lot of time in the car because she had to drive back. That you were back and forth from Mississippi what town in Mississippi?
Pascagoula.
Where's that?
It's on the very bottom, southernmost tip of Mississippi.
Okay.
Right on the Gulf Coast, yes.
Right on the Gulf Coast. Wow. And who did you stay with when you were back there for that one little time?
My dad's mom.
Your dad's mom.
So my grandma. The grandma that I was raised with, my parents worked together. They were young when they had me. But, like, the grandma that I was raised with we had to put her in a nursing home because she had Alzheimer's.
Gotcha.
And so I couldn't stay with her. So that was another problem because I was like, I never grew up with this side of the family. Like, this is just, like, for holidays and for weekends and, like, you know. And so now I'm living with a grandma who always was kind of mean to me. She was my mean grandma.
Yeah.
And like my other grandma, I can't see because she's sick.
Hard.
It was tough. So I was just like, I think that like that whole 6 month experience was just like, I guess LA is where I
is your
am
lady.
Now.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, mine is similar. Like I did not know you were from Mississippi. I know we've talked about LA before and growing up in LA. And anytime we've talked about it, I go, we won't have any people in common because I'm very old.
Wait, where'd you go to high school at?
Landmark. It's called Westmark now in Encino.
Oh, okay.
Very tiny little school. But yeah, I didn't know Mississippi. I didn't know. I thought you were born here. And
yeah, no, nah, I was born there.
And then I also didn't know Altadena.
Altadena.
What'd you learn?
I learned that you were 21 at that Old Town concert
mm-hmm.
that y'all drove up. You went to UCSB.
Uh-huh.
So I learned that. I learned you went to UCSB.
I mean, this isn't a quiz. Just like if you like, you don't have to. Like,
and Joel,
like,
I learned that you went to a party where there was some drugs at, like minimal drugs. There was drinking involved.
Yeah.
Just
and that you're a cop.
Bordering into ecstasy. Yeah, you're a cop. You have to tell us.
Carl Tart is, like I said before, writer performer at UCB on Queen George, White Women, writing for Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Anything else you want to plug? Is there a podcast that you want to?
If you like subscribing to Patreons, subscribe to the Flagrant Ones. It's a basketball podcast that we talk about not just basketball, and it's fun. It's with Sean Clements and Hayes Davenport of Hollywood Handbook. If y'all like them, you tolerate me. Come on in.
I tolerate you.
I said most of their fans. most of the fans of the podcast are fans of them. And they're just like, oh, and that guy.
And you are on Twitter at DammitCarl, yeah. DammitCarl.
Yeah.
Carl Tart, thank you so much for
joining
us.
Thank you. This has been a real pleasure.
Owl.
Owl.
And
definitely Owl. I can't even believe I hesitated.
Like way
for a
over
second.
Penguin? Like, or like, how, yes. What's the distance between
Owl? I love
Owl.
Owls a lot. Okay. I've never held a penguin. I've gotten to hold.
You've held an owl. Yeah. There's a picture on Instagram of you holding an owl.
There is.
Thank you all for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this particular album. Is very, very important to me. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at this particular album. Follow us on Twitter at particular album. The show is produced by me, Deborah Tarica, Ryan Middledorf, and everyone at Campfire Media. Artwork by James Mulholland. Music by me, Joel Spence. See you next time.
Campfire.